You are listening to the Unity Now podcast featuring the Reverend Sean Birch, the pastor of Spirit of Unity Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia. In this podcast, you will hear powerful messages from Pastor Birch and other ministers that tell of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These messages will inspire, challenge, and help you grow in your relationship with God. I hope you're ready. I know I am. Let's be blessed by today's message.
So I want to direct everybody's attention to Job, the first chapter. I want to focus on verses 20 through 22. Job, the first chapter, verses 20 through 22. It's Job, the first chapter, verses 20 through 22. And when you have arrived to that scripture, will you please stand if you're able in reverence to God's holy word? Job, the first chapter, verses 20 through 22. From the New Revised Standard Version, the text reads like this. Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell on the ground and worshiped. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all of this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrongdoing. Amen. Let's pray. Sovereign God, we come to you right now saying thank you. God, we thank you for the worship. We thank you for this congregation pulling together, not only to worship together, but fellowship, but also to learn more from your word and receive a word that will help them out. God, we thank you for the choir. We thank you for our worship leader. We thank you for keeping us in seasons of unexpected events.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And so now, God, as we try to travel in seasons of unexpected events, our hope and our prayer is that we rely on your strength to help us through any process, whether that's the grieving process, whether that's just the process of getting out the bed, going to work or school, whatever process we go through out life, help us to look to you, O God. We trust you, God, with our earthen vessels. And now, God, I trust you with this awaiting congregation. God, help us to fall down and worship you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Let go and let God.
Yes, Lord.
We need you, God.
Right now.
That never stopped.
Right now.
Help us, O God. In Jesus' name, Jesus. Let God's people say amen.
Amen.
You may be seated in God's house. Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell on the ground and worshiped. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there." Deacon Morgan, he says, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, somebody say, in all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrongdoing. And so in this time of sabbatical and grief. God opened up a series. The series is entitled Unexpected. With everything that has happened, I was on bended knees and I prayed to God, asking God to help me make sense of what occurred. And so when all else fails, when your mind fails, God always points us to God's word. Amen. Unexpected is our series title that we're working with. Part one, the sermon for today, is titled Good Grief. Good Grief. Good Grief. I'm not going into any details regarding my brother's death in this public worship space. However, when I received the call that my brother Joshua passed away, it was unexpected. Unexpected means that whatever happened was not regarded likely to happen. When my brother passed away, it was unforeseen, unanticipated, unpredicted, and unlooked for. We all know that with life comes death. But what's disturbing about times of tragedy is when something happens that we were not prepared to handle. It's the weight of unexpected events that becomes a load that is too much to bear or carry alone. I am reminded of a cartoon character by the name of Charlie Brown. You all know that guy. There were times that Charlie Brown encountered known and unknown situations, but his response to express his hurt or sadness was the phrase, good grief. Yes, we all have encountered some events. We have encountered some people. We have certainly encountered our fair share of tragedies and dilemmas that left us saying, good grief. Good grief to express our depression, dismay, and distress. However, the grieving process, although it's painful, the grieving process is painful, but it's not bad to grieve. In fact, it's good. Somebody say it's good.
It's good.
I'm not asking you to say it to be cute. I'm not asking you to say it because it's a cliche. No, I'm asking you to affirm that reality that when we go through traumatic moments and when we go down the pathway of grief, it's not a bad thing. Grief does not expose weakness. Grief does not expose that you're not strong enough. But in fact, good grief, even though we know it hurts, even though we know it's unbearable, good grief is when we know that the power of God gives us the courage to travel down this road towards healing and wholeness. Now, I stand here today hoping that I'm not the only one that has ever been through something that caused them to almost shut down. Somebody say good grief. So there are times when we experience great tragedy, family. However, in times like these, we must look up to God while we are feeling the crushing weight of unexpected events in our lives. In fact, the Bible reminds us in Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 28, come to me all that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Good grief, this hurts God. But good grief becomes bearable when we come to and rest in Jesus. I'm going to say it again for someone that wasn't paying attention. I'm going to say it again for the person that's been holding back on their grief. I'm going to say it again to the person that's been resisting to go down the grieving process. Good grief, this hurts God. It hurts that I lost my mama. It hurts that I lost my brother. It hurts that I lost my cousin. It hurts that we lost this youth. It hurts, but good grief becomes bearable when we come to and rest in Jesus. So what is so good about grief? What is so good about grief? In the first chapter of Job, we are introduced to a man who was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. Job was a married man, a man of one wife, and through their union, they produced 10 children, 7 sons and 3 daughters. Job was a very rich man, and he was very prosperous. The Bible tells us that he had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and very many servants, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. Most would say Job had it going on. Most would say by this very description that Job is a good person, not because he is rich, not because he has all the land or property or money and resources, but Job is clearly a man that is upright and blameless. And it wasn't people that said that about Job, it was God who said that about Job, that at the very sight of evil, he turned away from it. And this is not even in the sermon, but I want to parenthetically tell someone today that you get so depressed what people say when your mind should be concerned about what God says about you. All right. You know how many people will say, well, this pastor ain't supposed to be crying or bleeding out in public. This pastor supposed to be faithful. He can't grieve this way. How does that look to everybody else? Well, I don't care how that looks to you. What matters is that God, you have been changing who you are because of what other people say about you. Well, I'm happy to report that no one else has a heaven or hell to put you in. That your best days is not predicated in what your neighbor says about you. It's predicated in what God says about you. Now, one day, all the heavenly beings presented themselves before the Lord our God. And Satan, in Hebrew, ha-satan, means the accuser, also came along them. Now, obviously, God noticed Satan and asked Satan, where have you come from? Satan tells God that he has been going to and fro on the earth and walking up and down on it. Bible reminds us that Satan, he is here to kill, steal, and destroy. He will roam and devour. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and says, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not put a fence around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well, all that he has is in your power. I need you to be clear about something. Satan doesn't have any real power on you or over you. Satan was only allowed to do to Job what God told him. Now, this is very conflicting because you're like, why would God allow this mess to happen to me? Hold on to that. Hold on to it. God says, very well, all that he has is in your power. Only do not stretch out your hand against him. In other words, God was saying, do not take his life. Some of us cry over things that we lose. And yes, we cry over people that we lost. But the praise moment is that at least God didn't take his hands off you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Pastor, it still doesn't mean that I'm feeling, it doesn't mean that it doesn't take away the loss that I feel. Just follow me for a moment. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And as Satan went out from the presence of the Lord, and he went ahead and did what God allowed, except for taking Job's life, a series of events occurred unexpectedly in Job's life. How many of us have ever had to experience a series of unexpected events? Somebody say unexpected. Yeah, stuff just happens and you don't know why it happened. Stuff just comes out of nowhere and you're wondering, what in the world did I do? When I found out that my brother died weeks ago, and as we still wait for his body, I was praying to God. My initial reaction is like, man, I told my wife, I'm the biggest loser on this earth. I lost a stable home. I lost a household, abandoned. I lost parents. I lost foster homes. I lost moms and dads. I lost things. I lost property. I lost one of my younger brothers. I feel like the biggest loser. And when all this happened, in his case, it was unexpected. And it hurts when the unexpected happens. So you can imagine, you can't sit back and act like you don't understand what Job might be feeling or going through because it happened to you and I. Job loses, and I'm not going to go through everything that he lost, but essentially in this first test, not temptation, but test, Job loses his children and his property. He loses his children and his property. None of his children survives. Property is stolen from him. The hedge of protection that surrounded his family and his things and his property and his possessions was now lifted, and Satan had a field day. It's in moments like this where you can have that Charlie Brown moment and say, good grief. I'm depressed. I'm hurting. I'm in pain. Yet I'm confronted with all of this. What is so good about grief? Grief is good because it allows us to feel it. Somebody tell your neighbor, feel it. Grief is good because it allows us to feel it. Feel what? Feel the pain. Feel what? Feel the unexpected hurt. Feel what? Feel all of this agony. In verse 20, the text says it like this. Then Job arose, stood up, tore his robe, and shaved his head. I didn't tear my clothes, and I didn't shave my head. But I burst into tears. On that hot, sunny day, I remember it like it was yesterday. And that's it. We still have God. And that's the important thing to remember, that when I was feeling the rush of these emotions, I still had God there guiding me in this process. Some folk will tell you, don't cry about it, baby. Some folk will say that you can pray about it, and you can. But what Job shows us is, yes, you can feel it. Yes, you can acknowledge the hurt that you experienced. That when you go through unexpected things, you are allowed to feel the pain as long as you look to the hills from which cometh your help. Somebody say, feel it. And so we know that Job felt it. We know that Job immersed in his grief. We know that he expressed his mourning and his sorrowfulness, because the text says that he arose, he stood up. But then the text says that he tore his robe and shaved his head. In that society, in the biblical context, we know that tearing your robe and shaving your head is a sign of mourning. What does the Bible say? Yes, Job grieved. Somebody say, I can too.
I can too.
God doesn't act like you shouldn't grieve. In fact, this righteous man, this blameless man, was so close to God that he knew that God gave space for him to feel the pain that he was experiencing. Because I have to believe that Job believed that God will not judge you for shedding tears over someone you love. It's okay to cry. It's okay to feel the pain. Because you're not alone. And it's weird, because when you go through unexpected loss or any loss, even though people tell you that they're there for you, even though folk are right there with you, you still feel alone. But in those moments of loneliness on that island, when you feel alone, when you got people around you, or when folk are not around you, when the phone calls don't come through, or when they do come through, or when text messages come through, and you dare not answer them because you don't know what to say. When you don't know what to say, you don't know what to do, you don't know how to react, God is right there holding your hand while you're feeling it. While you're feeling it. What is so good about grief? Well, grief is good because if we feel it, or when we feel it, then we can't fake it. Huh? If you feel it, we can't try to fake it. I did something over the past few weeks I didn't think I was going to find myself doing. Usually, I would put on a smile and act like everything is okay. I would put on a performance. I'm keeping it real. I would put on a performance so I wouldn't bring down anybody else's spirit. Because in today's church, we teach a theology. Oh, I'm going there. That comes from worldly perspective about being around good energy all the time. Oh, it got quiet. Because many of us are guilty of always saying, I can't be around this negativity all the time. I believe that God gives space for balance. But we have to know that in times of great grief and discomfort, if you read the Bible ain't every day sunshiny, everything is all good. The Bible actually challenges us that when bad times happen, how are you going to respond? All right. Are you going to abandon people because the energy ain't positive? Or are you going to be a one of good character and be able to help somebody through it? So grief is good when we feel it, acknowledge the pain, but we also have to get out of this habit of faking it. I made a decision in this grieving process that I'm no longer faking it anymore. Last Sunday, many of you witnessed me burst into tears, and I'm not a public crier, but I burst into tears. And it wasn't completely grief. May I educate you today? Your tears are a form of worship to God as well. Your tears are a form of worship to God as well. And I'm thinking to myself, well, my God, God, I have given you some worship for the past 4 weeks now. Even though I couldn't say anything, my tears were saying it all to God. Bible says he bottles up our tears. I don't know what God plans to do with those tears. But if God bottles them up, and God has a purpose for them, so I'm going to keep on letting the tears fall so it can help my flowers grow. I can't fake it anymore. People fake it because we know that there are folk out there that don't want to be around bad energy. As a pastor, I don't have the luxury of picking and choosing who I want to be around based off of bad energy. God did not call me to discern who got bad or good energy. God called me to be there when you are going through the worst season of your life. And many of you will know, even though I was hurting, I was still praying for you. Even though I was hurting, I still visit when I could. Even though I was hurting, I still maintained faithfulness and trusted God in my activities. Although I'm hurting, I remember that Jesus didn't do anything to me, but he did everything for me. So I keep on going. I'm not going to fake the fact that I'm hurting. And yes, my attitude may not be the best, but it doesn't mean I don't love you. And it sure enough don't mean I don't love God. It means that I'm going through a moment. I'm going through a season, and I'm reaching out to God to help me. I'm not going to fake it anymore. I'm not going to put on a fake smile. I'm going to shed my tears. I'm going to cry out to the Lord. I'm going to ask God for help. You can't fake it anymore. The Bible says in verse 20, how do we know he didn't fake it? He felt it. How do we know he didn't fake it? Bible says that Job fell on the ground. He stood up. He arose up because I believe he wanted to acknowledge to his community, and he wanted to acknowledge the fact that I'm hurting. Can you see me hurting? Can you see me going through it? Even the baby had sense enough to say yes. I heard. You heard it, didn't you? Y'all didn't even catch that. God giving you praise moments right now. God saying when you see somebody hurting, it shouldn't take you 10,000 years to acknowledge the hurt. The reason why the church can't grow is because we ignore each other. We ignore each other. We stay away from each other because people can't fake it like you want them to. Yes, I'm sad. And yes, I'm hurting. But you need to see this from your leader, because I believe that leading by example will help the people to understand the text, but also understand how they can better approach the situation in church and outside of church, so that we can be the living, breathing community that God wants us to be, a compassionate community, a loving community, a community of grace and mercy towards our neighbors, a community that won't stand for sin, a community that won't stand for just any old type of thing, but a community that will trust God even in the midst of it. But in other words, simply this: if I'm not going to fake it, it means I'm just going to simply keep it real. I'm going to keep it real because your emotions are real. God created you from your head to your toes. God knows every fiber of your being. And so God knows the fact that if you fake it, all you're going to do is cause yourself to go down a spiral abyss. And as Job fell to the ground, and this wasn't no show for Job. This was real. Have you been hurt so bad that you just collapsed? Have you ever felt the gut punch of life that it knocked the wind out of you that you just couldn't stand anymore? And he fell to the ground, and that was real. Many of us, whether you want to admit it or not, you fell to the ground. Some of you refuse to fall, and you just leaning up against the wall somewhere. Just fall down. Pastor, I don't know how hard I'm going to hit the ground. Well, let me tell you, you will hit it hard. But when you hit it hard, know that God is there. Oh, you don't want to clap. Every time you have hit the ground hard, God has always been there. You thought you were going to land on clouds? No. But when you hit it hard and you are going through it, God is there while you're hurting. That's proof. Bible says that God will never leave nor forsake us. What does that mean? God says, I'm going to be with you in the good times, in the positive times, but also I'm going to be with you in the negative times. I'm going to be with you in the bad times. Don't fake it with me. God don't want you to fake it with God. God wants you to be real and authentic. God wants you to cry and shed your tears. Today's a day. If you've been holding on to something and you've been faking it, now is the time to let it go. What is so good about grief? Well, grief is good because when we feel it, we can't, or at least we shouldn't, try to fake it. If we feel it, and if we don't fake it, then we can faith it. We can faith it. Y'all too quiet. Y'all act like y'all don't want to faith it. And this ain't no fake it till you make it type of stuff. Faith it here for me in this text simply says worship. You can worship and maintain your relationship and fellowship with God. When bad things occur, people have this tendency to blame God. God, I didn't do anything wrong. God, I tried to serve you all my life. God, why did this happen? God, you took her away from me. God, you took him away from me. Somehow people do the blame game with God. The whole point of Satan doing what he did was so that he can attack Job's character. In fact, he did attack Job's character by accusing Job that the moment God took it away, took his stuff away, took his family away, or his children away, that Job would curse God to God's face. How many of us let our lips loose with blaming God? The proverbial question, why does good things happen to bad people? Pastor London, I may not know all the answers, but I started to get a sense of what this answer looks like in the framework of Job's experience. Do you not realize that for God to take God's hands off your stuff, off your possessions or the people in your life, for God to remove it because of what Satan accuses about us, and he just doesn't accuse Job's character, he also accuses us. Oh God, if you take Sean's brother away from him, I guarantee you he's going to curse you. You realize for God to do that means God trusts that you will maintain your godly character in the midst of great grief and loss. And many of you ain't too excited about that. That's a test. That's God testing us, but that's also God trusting that we will be who we said we are when we committed to God in the first place. Oh, y'all came today to expect that, oh, I'm going to receive blessings on blessings. Well, what do you do when God
takes the fence away. Not because God is being mean to you, but God trusts you to maintain your godly character. No. It didn't hit him yet. You mean to tell me, God, that you trust me enough, that you know me well enough, that if Satan attacks me, that you're standing by your word and saying Sean will not curse you and Sean will not abandon you? They're not getting it. When other people won't trust you to sit their dog, God trusts you to maintain your godly character. In other words, when Satan accused you, God said, "The devil is a liar. Watch what my child will do." We know that Job faked it because the text says that when he tore his robe and when he shaved his head and when he fell to the ground, the Bible says that he worshiped. The Bible says that he worshiped. Look, that don't look like a person that's about to curse God. That doesn't look like a person that's about to abandon God. God trusted Job enough that I know this is going to hurt you, my son, but I trust you, Job, that you will not abandon me in the midst of your storm. God trusts you. God trusts you. God trusts you. And so if God trusts you that much, where is your worship? Where is your faith? Where is your positive response, your meaningful response to God's grace and mercy in your situations? Job did not curse God, but Job said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there." Job did not curse God. Job said, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away." Job did not curse God. Yet he said, "Blessed, blessed, blessed be the name of the Lord." In all of this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrongdoing. So when we faith it, it means that we don't charge God with wrongdoing and we don't sin against God because of the hurt we experience, but yet and still we acknowledge that I came into this world with nothing. I was born with nothing. So when I return back to you, God, everything you gave me, everybody you gave me, my family, my friends, my children, my possessions, when all those things pass away, then God, all I can do is bless your name. I bless you, God, and I worship you, God, because I would not have had those people or those things in the first place if it had not been for the Lord. If it had not been for the Lord, I would not have experienced the love and the peace and the joy and even the painful moments of growth experiences with my brother or the people that I encounter. Blessed be the name of the Lord, that although I don't have him and although I don't have certain things anymore, I can still fix my lips. And yes, it is hard to fix my lips, but I'm still going to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. It's hard to stand behind this sacred desk and preach the word, but I'm still going to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Even though it's hard to still function as a child of God, I'm still going to declare, blessed be the name of the Lord. And what Job does is show us that when other people accuse our character and tell us what we are going to do if stuff or people are taken away, God presents the opportunity and he steps back and says, I trust that my children won't fail me yet. And when we have God's trust, it's one thing to have your neighbor's trust. It's one thing to have your family's trust. But when you got God's trust like that, then all we can do is appreciate that God saw enough in me to be able to withstand the storm that is headed our way.
Hallelujah.
And so, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, we will not try to sin against God. In all this, we can't blame God. Why blame God when God found it in God's heart to trust you, to remain faithful? Y'all, we went through some stuff, but aren't you glad that God trusted you enough to remain faithful? Even though that stuff was unexpected, aren't you glad that God makes your grieving process bearable in such a way that you can lean on God versus the problem at hand?
Hallelujah.
I'm glad that I don't have to blame God. I'm glad that I have sense enough to trust God because God trusts me. I mean, someone who was a liar, someone who was a deceiver, someone who didn't follow God initially, but when I started to follow God through it all, you had moments where you left the church, then you came back to church. You had moments when things didn't work out, where if God didn't show up for me, I'm not going to show up for God. Well, I'm about to bless somebody's soul that every Sunday, except for, I guess, when you go on vacation or when you're sick, but every Sunday you ought to be here. Why? God showed up for you. He trusted you even, so I'm going to show up for God. But I just can't show up for God inside the church. I got to show up for God outside the church. I got to show up for God at work. I got to show up for God at school. I got to show up for God while I'm driving in the car and somebody cuts me off and it makes me angry. I got to handle everything in a way that God will be pleased with. Good grief. Grief ain't bad. It's good, especially when you look to the hills from which cometh your help. Because your help, my help, our help comes from the Lord. Will you stand to your feet?